So for right now, let's go to the book of James. Book of James. Put a place marker there, folks. We are going to be there a while. The book of James, and I am going to go to chapter 1 and read one verse. James chapter 1, verse number 1. And if you have your place, let me hear you say amen. 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 Let's stand while God's word is being read here this morning. These are the words of James as he was inspired by the Holy Spirit to write. And I will have those words up here on the screen. Just one verse. James, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes who are dispersed abroad, greetings. And we'll stop there. Father, we just give you glory because we're about to start a new study in this book of James and learn all kinds of new truths. So, Father, I just ask, Lord, that as we learn over these next weeks and months about what James has to say, Father, it can transform us into becoming more Christ-like. You will always get the glory. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. And you may be seated. Today, well, here's a, before I get into the message here, I don't know if anybody ever recognized, but every year I use a different color background on my PowerPoint presentations. Did anybody catch that? Yeah, did you? Okay. Yeah. Yeah, the screen is not going bad. It kind of has in 2019 it was purple. The next year after that it was green. Last year it was blue. And this year it's going to be, what color is that? Okay, that's what color it is. Whatever you said, that's what color it is. So that's what color it'll be this year. So whatever color. Well, today we're going to begin a new expository Bible study. Now you might ask, what is an expository Bible study? An expository study is where we go through a book of the Bible, verse by verse, and uncover as many truths that we can contain within that book. We've already done two expository studies here. We've done a study on the book of Jonah. That was probably about 10 years ago. And we recently just finished the book of Galatians. 6 chapters. It took us 47 weeks to get through that book. And this new expository study, as you can tell, is going to be in the book of James. And I have titled today's message, A Bond Servant. One of the things about the book of James, we probably won't get into it too much today, but certainly in the weeks to come, we will find out that this book is a very practical way of Christian living. So instead of being too theological like the Galatians book was, this is going to be, how do I live my life as a Christian? So it's going to be an interesting study for the next however many weeks it takes us to get through. But I want to begin today's study by giving us some foundational truths about the author of this book and the audience to which he writes. It's going to be very interesting. It's almost unanimous among theologians that the James who wrote this book, the book of James, is James, the half-brother of Jesus Christ. Now you might say, well, wait a second. Jesus Christ had brothers and sisters? Yes, he did. Mark chapter 6, verses 2 and 3. When the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue, and the many listeners were astonished, saying, "Where did this man get these things? And what is this wisdom given to him, and such miracles as these performed by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, and brother of James, and Joses, and Judas, and Simon? Are not his sisters here with us?" And they took offense at him. We know from this verse, and I believe this is also written in the book of Matthew and in the book of Luke, where it says that Jesus had half-brothers. We know that Jesus had at least 4 half-brothers and at least 2 half-sisters. Now, one of the nice parts about this truth is this. There are some religions out there that will try to teach their congregations that Mary was a perpetual virgin. No, she was not. She had other children. We know of at least six of them right here. And one of these half-brothers, James in particular, was the author of the book that we're about to study, the book of James. Now, just think about this here a second. I'm sure it was a very interesting experience growing up with Jesus as your older brother and not quite knowing exactly who he was or what his mission was. That older brother of yours that always did everything right. That perfect brother. The one mama always liked best. Because he was always Mr. Goody Two Shoes. But we need to think about that and remember that as we go through this book. What they are saying here, getting ahead of myself. So we know we had four half-brothers. While growing up, these brothers, including James, had their doubts about their older brother Jesus. We know this in John chapter 7, verses 2 through 5. Now the feast of the Jews, the feast of Booths, was near. Therefore his brothers said to him, "Leave here and go into Judea, so that your disciples also may see your works which you are doing. For no one does anything in secret when he himself seeks to be known publicly. If you do these things, show yourself to the world." For not even his brothers were believing in him. That's what it tells us in John chapter 7. And what they are saying here to Jesus is actually very, very sarcastic. They obviously saw his miracles or knew about his miracles, but even they were skeptical about his true identity. All they knew was this: he was their older brother, and he was very different. But there's that great transition word. After the resurrection of Jesus Christ, an interesting event happened in the life of James. We'll go to 1 Corinthians 15, verses 6 through 8 to read about this. This is Paul writing to the people in Corinth, and he writes this, and he's writing about the resurrection. After that, after the resurrection, he, Jesus, appeared to more than 500 brethren at one time, most of whom remain until now, but some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared to me also. He appeared to James, the same brother, same half-brother who was being sarcastic to him, the same half-brother who wrote the book of James. Now, this could have been a conversion moment in the life of James, but we don't know that for sure. But to know, again, your Jesus half-brother, to know that your half-brother was crucified, to know that he died on a cross, to know that he was buried in a tomb, and then you see him appearing to you, this could have a very profound effect on your life. And I'm convinced that it is very possible that James remembered many of the words and many of the actions that his older brother Jesus said and performed. And somewhere along the line, I believe that James just put two and two together and he became a believer. At one time, the Apostle Paul returns to Jerusalem to a thing called the Jerusalem Council. And we can read about that in Acts chapter 15. In Jerusalem, there are those in authoritative positions within this new entity now called the church. Let's see what Paul writes about that in Galatians 2, verses 7 and 9. "But on the contrary, seeing that I had been entrusted with the gospel to the uncircumcised, just as Peter had been to the circumcised, and recognizing the grace that had been given to me, James and Cephas and John, who were reputed to be pillars, gave to me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship, so that we might go to the Gentiles, and they to the uncircumcised. We see three names written there that are pillars of the church in the very, very early church. James, Cephas, who we know as Peter, and John, the Apostle John. The Apostle John that's written about here, we all know him. He self-describes himself as the one whom Jesus loved. Did have a brother named James. We know that. So is this James the brother of John? And the answer to that is no, it is not. And we know that from the scriptures tell us this. By the time of the Jerusalem Council, which is right here, which we find in Acts chapter 15, John's brother James had already been martyred and killed. We know that from Acts chapter 12. Now, about that time, Herod the king laid hands on some who belonged to the church in order to mistreat them. And he had James, the brother of John, put to death with the sword. When he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded to arrest Peter also. So we know that James, the brother of John, had been put to death in Acts chapter 12, and the Council of Jerusalem did not occur until Acts chapter 15. Also, when Paul returned to Jerusalem, we have further proof that James is the half-brother of Jesus. Paul writes this in Galatians 1, 18 and 19. Then 3 years later, I went up to Jerusalem to become acquainted with Cephas, again Peter, and stayed with him 15 days. But I did not see any of the other apostles except James, who? The Lord's brother. So we know that even Paul says that this James, the leader of the Jerusalem council, is the brother of James, the half-brother of James. So let's take the five things that we've learned about James so far, so we get to know the author here a little bit better. James, we know this. He is the half-brother of Jesus Christ. We know that from Mark chapter 6, verse 3. Number two, he didn't believe in Jesus at least one point in time in John chapter 7, verse 5. Number three, Jesus appeared to him post-resurrection, 1 Corinthians 15, 7. Number four, he was a leader in the early church, Galatians 2, 9. And he was confirmed by Paul as being the brother of Jesus, Galatians 1, 19. So we know these facts about James, the author of the book that we are about to study. So our next question is this. Who is James writing this letter to? Well, he tells us in the very first verse, to the 12 tribes who are dispersed abroad. Now, when James is saying that he's writing to the tribes, this means he is writing to one of the 12 tribes of Israel, the 12 tribes of Jacob. So he would be writing this to fellow Jews who saw the light and converted from Judaism to Christianity. Now, more than likely, these Jews who were converted to Christianity after the resurrection of Jesus were being persecuted, and persecuted severely. Either one, by the Jews who remained faithful to Judaism because even the Jews didn't like the converts to Christianity, or two, by King Herod, who took pleasure in killing James and saw that it pleased the Jews, so he thought he would do more of those kinds of things. So due to this persecution that the Jews are receiving, these Jews who are converting to Christianity, these new believers, they moved away. They dispersed. They moved abroad. They left Jerusalem. They left Judea. And now they went abroad into Gentile territory and were making homes there so they could escape the persecution in those areas. And this letter written by James is addressed to those who defected from Jerusalem in the area of Judea. The next question, how do we know that this letter is addressed to believers? Well, I'm going to put 15 verses up there, just the chapters and verses. If you look in all 15 of these verses from the book of James, he's referring to the brethren. In each one of these verses, he says, brethren, brethren, brethren. And when the word brethren is used, that is always a reference to fellow believers. So let's add what we know to our chart that we have here. Point number six. He writes to this letter to dispersed believers. They are people who left Jerusalem and left the area of Judea. And we're going to answer just one last question here this morning. We know who James is now. We know who he wrote this letter to. So when did James write this letter? We know these facts from historical records. In 44 AD, we know that that's when Herod begins the persecution of Christians. He had James, the brother of John, killed that year. In 49 AD, we know from historical records, that was the Jerusalem Council. And we know the death of James, the man who wrote this letter, he died in 62 AD. One of the things about the letter that he wrote, James makes absolutely no reference at all to the Jerusalem Council. And we would have thought that he would have, because it was a very important event. So that leads us to believe that James, the book of James, was written between the years of 44 and 49 AD. And if that is true, which for the moment I'm going to buy into that, that would make this book, the book of James that we're about to study, the oldest New Testament book that was written, or the earliest one that was written out of all the New Testament books. So now we know who James is, we know who he wrote this letter to, and we know when he wrote the letter. Now, there's one more truth I want to uncover about James, and that is found here in verse number 1. He starts off his letter by saying this: James, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says he is a bondservant of God, and he's a bondservant of the Lord Jesus Christ. So what is a bondservant? Well, let's go. I don't usually do a lot of Greek research, but the word for bondservant is the word doulos, which is Greek, which can mean one of three different meanings. It can mean a servant, it can mean a bondservant, or it could mean a slave. The same word is used for each one of those purposes. So let's look at how Webster defines those three. What is a servant? According to Webster, one who serves others. What is a bondservant? One bound to service without wages. And what is a slave? A person who is completely subservient to a dominating influence. James, in what he is saying in the first verse, is saying this, that he is a slave to God, and he is a slave to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is his master. Now let's think about this here a second. Let's look at the family dynamics here for a second, because they can get a little tricky. Back in John chapter 7, verse number 5, James, along with his older brothers, to put it in the vernacular, they're talking smack to their older brother Jesus. Go ahead, go up to the feast, go up to the festival and show yourself. If you're this guy who does all these miracles, go show yourself, Jesus. And the text tells us that they did not believe in him. And now this same James, the same brother who was talking smack to his older brother Jesus, is now humbly considering himself a servant, a slave, a bondservant to his older brother, Jesus. At some point in time, there had to have been a change of heart for James. Now, if this surprises you, I'm going to put another little fact up here that might surprise you even more. We know that James, the half-brother of Jesus, wrote this book. Now, I'm going to put another slide up here. Right before the book of Revelation is a small little one-chapter book called the Book of Jude. Let's look at the opening line of the Book of Jude. The opening line of the Book of James, the opening line of the Book of Jude. Jude writes this: a bondservant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to those who are the called, beloved in God the Father, and kept for Jesus Christ. If Jude is a brother of James, that makes Jude a half-brother of Jesus also. Jude was one of the other four brothers that were mentioned in back in Mark chapter 6, verses 2 and 3. He was also one of those unbelieving brothers in John chapter 5. So we know that two of the four brothers saw the light and they became Jesus' followers. Imagine that older brother that you ridiculed, that you made fun of, that older brother that you probably thought mom liked best, that older brother who had crowds following him and was gaining popularity around town, and you weren't, and that older brother who had a questionable birth that caused people to talk and caused people to gossip. Yes, that same older brother is now your master. He's now your Lord. He's now your Savior. And now you are his bondservant, his servant, and his slave. So as we go through this expository study of the book of James, I want us to consider what James might be thinking and remembering and recalling from what he remembers from his childhood all the way up, the words and the actions of this older brother of his, Jesus. They certainly made an impact. James is now a bondservant. He's a servant. He's a slave to God and to his Lord and big brother, Jesus Christ. And again, as I said earlier, as we go through this book, we will see and learn a very practical way of living. Let's go to God in a word of prayer.